Hey Shavat, Sunday the 29th of January, Rabbi Menachem Apter, facing adversity. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by family M. Wiesenfeld, Lichvot HaNesuim Shel Swuri Phineas and Esti Wiesenfeld.
There are times in life when a person suffers, like a pranosa, health, children, shidduchim. How does one handle these situations? I want to give a disclaimer. I'm not offering a magic formula to solve problems. Just gives some perspective what a person's hashkafa should be. The first yisoid I'd like to bring out first with a story that President Bush the First was once by a fundraiser for his son. And it was a barbecue for his son.
Bush.
And he came, it was at a fundraiser, and he came at the barbecue to get a piece of chicken. So the lady gave him a measly portion of chicken. He said, could I have another piece? She said, no. He said, please give me another piece. There's no one piece per person. So he said, do you know who I am? She said, no. He says, I was President of the United States. Before that, I was Vice President of the United States. Before that, I was the head of the CIA. Before that, I was an ambassador to Japan.
For what?
So can I have a piece of chicken? She says, do you know who I am? So he says, no. She says, I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. The first yesod we have to know is, we have to remember, we're not in control. Only the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can change our destiny. A person has an important meeting. He misses the meeting because of traffic. He didn't miss the meeting because of traffic. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted him to miss the meeting, and therefore the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made the traffic. People so often say, if only if I wouldn't have gone there, if I wouldn't have done this, things would have been different. It wouldn't have been. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted these things to happen. We see this brought out. The pasuk tells us, "Vayakom Melech Chodosh on Mitzrayim, Asher Lo Yoda as Yosef." So I once heard pshat the pasuk. Yosef's brothers wanted to make sure that he would never be a melech. His dreams would never be mekuyim. How do you make sure of that? You sell him as an eved to Mitzrayim. No eved ever escaped from there. It's guaranteed he can't be a melech. What were they doing? In essence, they were making him into the king. They were the ones making the preparations. He would become the melech of Mitzrayim. Later on, Paroi doesn't want that Moshe should survive. Doesn't want the lead in Klai Yisrael to survive. How does he do that? He has all the boys thrown in the water. Through that, there'll never be a lead of Klai Yisrael. There'll never be somebody to take them out. Moshein Shel Yisrael is going to be struck by water. But what happens? What happens is, instead of him destroying, getting rid of the lead of Klai Yisrael, he lands up raising the lead of Klai Yisrael in his very own palace. So, Vayakom Melech Chodesh on Mitzrayim, there was a new king, Asher Lo Yoda. He didn't know the mice of Yosef. Had he known that, he would have realized, you can't change destiny. Don't bother wasting your time. Somebody once came to Rabbi Victor Miller, and was complaining how he missed his plane and messed up his plans. So Rabbi Victor Miller said to him, what would have happened if that plane would have crashed? 450 people would have died in the plane. Would you be happy then? He says, of course. I'd realize what anyone did for me, I'd make a kiddush. So Rabbi Victor Miller said to him, Rasha, you need 450 people to die for you to realize that everything Rabbi Yisrael does is your benefit. Yoina didn't want to go to Nineveh. Why? Because if the goyim do tshuva, there'll be a kitrug against Klai Yisrael. That the goyim did tshuva and Klai Yisrael don't do tshuva. So, in the end, it didn't work out how Yoina wanted it. He had tried to avoid making Nineveh do tshuva. But let me tell you the rest of the story. His running away is what caused the people in Nineveh to do tshuva. Because did you ever wonder, when Yoina arrives in Nineveh, and he tells them to tshuva, and everybody does tshuva, try and imagine a person getting off the plane in Tehran airport, and he goes around telling the people there, repent, or you're going to be destroyed. I don't think he would even be able to get out of the airport. The place Nineveh was no better than Tehran today. A place of kuli rishis. And every person does tshuva there. How's it shaykh such a thing? Vayaminu anshei Nineveh, the pasuk says. The people of Nineveh believed him. Why? Rishoyim. So the Radak says pshat. That when Yoina is walking down the road, he arrives in Nineveh. Who does he bump into? What do you know? He bumps into the people who threw him off the boat. These people said, hey, we dropped you off in the Atlantic Ocean. How did you get here? He tells them the story. They know it's true. They know where they left him. So they start telling everybody. And now, so by him running away, that caused him to be thrown in the water. That caused the Anshe Nineveh to believe him. If he wouldn't have been thrown in the water, he would have gone straight to Nineveh. What would have happened then? Why would they have believed him? So what he in essence was doing is, by running away, he was bringing them to do tshuva. Oh, we have to realize that when a person has a tzara, the only person that can change the situation is not a person, it's the Rabbani Shalom himself. He's the only one who can bring the Yeshua. That recognition is necessary to bring the Yeshua. We see this clearly. The Zaporna says, when Yaakov woke up from his dream, the Rabbi Shalom told him it was already his dream, Vayazarcha ka'afar oritz, your children will be like the dust of the earth. And the Zaporna says over there, when Klai Yisrael are like the dust of the earth, that everybody is trampling Klai Yisrael, when they reach rock bottom, that is when the Yeshua will come. That is when it will be a Verafto Yom of the Kedma of the Tzafon of the Negbo. It's only when we're being trampled on, which the Kleyok brings a Medrash, Ein HaTshua Bo. Tshua doesn't come for Klai Yisrael. Only when Klai Yisrael are the Tachlis HaShiflos, when we're rock bottom, that's when it'll come. Explains the Kleyok, why is that? Because as long as things are going in a way that we can see a way out of it, we think we have the right Prime Minister in Israel, the right protection in the White House, if we think there's tachbulois, there's ideas, plans and things we can do, Yeshua doesn't come. It's only when we realize, that is when Yeshua will come. And that is what the post means, when we're rock bottom, we recognize there's nowhere else to turn. That's when Yeshua will come for us. We have to realize that we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabbi Shalom can do anything. He's Kol Yochel. What does it mean, HaKol Yochel? We think we understand it. The Rabbi Shalom can even put an elephant through the size of the eye of a needle. So how does the Rabbi Shalom do that? So you'll say one of two ways. Either the Ribbono Shel Olam makes the eye of the needle bigger, or the Ribbono Shel Olam can make the elephant smaller. No, that's not HaKol Yochel. HaKol Yochel means the Ribbono Shel Olam can leave the elephant the same size. The Ribbono Shel Olam can leave the eye of the needle the same size. And the Ribbono Shel Olam can put an elephant through the eye of a needle. How? I have no idea. But that's what HaKol Yochel means. We have no idea what the Ribbono Shel Olam can do. So that is the first point. We have to recognize. We have to recognize that only the Rabbi Shalom can change our destiny. The second point we must realize is that we have to accept that everything the Rabbi Shalom does is for the good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best for us, even if we can't imagine how or why. Sometimes, later on in life, we may be zeicher to see it. Other times, we may have to wait for the next world. The Gemara tells us, on that day, the Rabbani Shalom will be one. And the Gemara asks, and today the Rabbani Shalom is not one? So the Gemara says, now we make two brachas, Baruch Dina Emes, and Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. La'asid Lavoi will only make Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. And the Mefarshim explain Pshat is, what Pshat will only make one bracha? It's not Pshat, they'll be only good. Pshat is, we'll look back through history, and we'll realize there was only good. We'll realize there never was such a thing as bad. Now we have two perspectives. We see good, we see bad. La'asid lovoi. We'll look back through life and realize there never was bad. Everything is latoiv. That doesn't mean there's no pain at all. We have to realize that we're not on a madrega always to recognize it's all for the good. Rabbi Kiva, when Pastor Churban Abayis, he was laughing. He was on that level. But the other tznoim weren't laughing. They were crying. They didn't see it all for the good. So it's not shy for us always to see it. And it's hard, and we cry. But we have to recognize. We have to realize at the same time, there's a hidden toiv, even if we can't see it. And that's what we ask for Ribbono Shel Olam, to be goyimel chasodim toivim. Do a chesed with us, where we see the toiv in it. Yosef's brothers, when they're having all the difficulties with Yosef Mitzrayim, when he's treating them harshly, they say to each other, Ma'osah Hashem Lonu, what has HaKadosh Baruch Hu done to us? And then a little while later they get their answer. They get their answer when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. And he says, Ani Yosef. All their questions are answered. The Chofetz Chaim says, we all have questions in life. We don't know and don't understand many things. But La'asid Lavai, the Ribbono Shel'Olam is going to come. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to say the same words as Yosef. Yosef said, Ani Yosef. The Ribbono Shel'Olam will say, Ani Hashem. And all our questions will be answered. There's a story of a man who lost his wife. And now he was trying to get remarried. He was dating. And he had a son who was also dating at the same time. And his son said to him, it must be very difficult for you at this time in life to have to go through this again. He said, yes. And I was mispalled to the Ribbono Shel'Olam. The Ribbono Shel'Olam should send me a sign if it's the right person for me. And then one day, somebody arranges a shidduch for him. He calls up the lady. At that moment, this poor lady had young children at home. And the toilet was overflowing. And he calls up, she answers the phone. And he starts talking to her. She says, I'm really sorry, I can't talk to you. But I can't talk to you now. The water is coming up towards me. And she hung up and said goodbye. And she felt so depressed and so bad. What a silly thing to say. He's probably so upset. What a way to talk to him. And at that moment, he was ecstatic. He had just been given the simon of Rivka Imenu. Thomas Edison lost his hearing at age 12. It was devastating for him. But he said himself, it was because of this he was able to achieve and accomplish so much in life and make so many inventions. Now that doesn't mean that a person has to accept the situation. A person has to daven, do tshuva. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can achieve exactly the same goal in a pleasant way. Sometimes though, to see the good, we have to be a little creative. In Monsi, there's a minig. When your children reach the age of 16, it's not really a minig, there's a chiyuv to teach them to drive. And so I was teaching my daughter to drive, and we came to a stop sign. When Ozzeichet have roundabouts over there, so you have these stop signs everywhere. And usually they're four-way stop signs. This one, it's rare, was a two-way stop sign. It seems like she didn't realize it was a two-way stop sign. She moved forward, and the car coming in the other direction totaled my car. And I was pretty happy how I handled it. I didn't take it too badly. That was the end of my car. So now, the insurance company was kind enough to pay for me to rent a car for the next 10 days while you buy a new car. And the day after this accident took place, I come out to get into the rented car and I see that somebody has smashed into the car and driven off. So now, I didn't want to go to my insurance company a second time. I didn't think they'd ever want to insure me again. So I decided I'd better get this repaired myself. So I took this car to the body shop to repair it. And I'm on my way home. I'm walking home and I'm thinking to myself, my car is totaled. I have a rental car. And now I have to pay for that repair. And now I don't have any car at all. And I was feeling a little down. So I was learning my chavrusa that day. In the summer I learned with Rabbi Yochanan Wozner. And so he told me a maisa to give me chizik. And the Shatzer Rebbe was in England in the 1950s. So he had one of his chassidim once went for a trip to America. He went by boat. And when he arrived in America, he wasn't here long when he got sick. He had to go to doctors, he was put in hospital. And almost all of his 2-week trip, he spent in the hospital. He had to pay thousands of dollars because there is no National Health Service. And when he came out of the hospital, it was time for his trip to return to England. He came back home. He went into the Rebbe. And he's crying to the Rebbe, I understand the Ribbono Shel'Olam wanted to make me sick. I understand I had to suffer. But couldn't the Ribbono Shel'Olam do it when I was in England? Before the trip, after the trip, once in my life, I go on a trip like this. And then the bills, expenses I had, was unbelievable. Why did Ribbono Shel'Olam do it like this? So the Shatzer Rebbe smiled. And he said to him, you don't understand what happened over here. The Ribbono Shel'Olam, how he helped you out here was unbelievable. There was a gezeira on you. there was a gezeira on you of how much you would have to spend on medical expenses. So Baruch Shalom did you an unbelievable favor. He sent you to America, and within 2 weeks you'd spent all the money you had to spend. Had you been in England, it would have probably would have taken you 20 years to spend that amount of money, to use up the money. So Rabbi Shlom healed you in 2 weeks. How thankful you have to be to Rabbi Shlom. So he told me this Maisa. I was trying to fit into my situation. I wasn't as creative as he was. But it certainly gave me chizik. The Pasuk says in Keheles, Perek Zayin Pasuk Yudalad, B'yoyim toiv heyei b'toiv, or b'yoyim ra'a ra'ei. Now it sounds like what I'm telling you is Parshim Shat in the Pasuk. You're looking at Parshim there, it certainly isn't. But the Pasuk, you can certainly understand. Be yoim toiv, heye b'toiv. Be pleased when things are going well. Or be yoim ra'o, when there's a time of misfortune. Re'e, reflect, look into the situation, think about it, because this also is for your benefit. In other words, we have to look at life. Life is like an ofruf. The chassan comes into shul, a melech, he feels good about himself, covered from everybody. And all of a sudden they start throwing these pekelech at him. He gets stoned all of a sudden. It's painful. But you look inside, and inside it's all sweet. The third point we have to think about is when we can't see the good. And when a person is feeling depressed, they should be comforted with a thought and knowing that they're not alone. Imoi anoichi b'tzara. That the Rebbeinu Shloim is with us. And there's a medrash which brings down, which in the secular world have copied this as well. There was a man who had constant misfortune. He felt alone. And he would say, Keili, Keili, loma zavtoni. The Rebbeinu Shloim. He would doubt the Rebbeinu Shloim. Why did you leave me? Why did you abandon me like this? And he had a dream. He was walking on a path. And he looks back on the path he's been walking. And he sees there two sets of footprints. There's two sets of footprints on the path. But then he sees in certain areas, there's only one set. The path narrowed there, and there's one set of footprints. And he realized this was the path of his life. That Hashem had accompanied him at certain times. Hashem had been next to him, lighting up the way for him in the good times. And then there was a wide path. But in the trying times, the path had narrowed. And it seems that in those times, Hashem wasn't with him. Hashem was only with him in the good times. In the difficult periods, he had been alone. And he cried, Ribbono Shel, when I needed you most, why did you abandon me then? And then he heard a gentle voice answer him and say, in difficult times, there was no need for a broad path, because I was not beside you. I was carrying you. When a person feels the most forsaken, Hashem is closer. This man woke up, a changed person, and instead of saying, Keili, Keili, Loma Zavtoni, he changed to a different capital to him. And he said, Gam Kielech, Begeit Salmoves, Lo Iro, Ki Ato Imodi. Even the most difficult times, the Ribbono Shel is with me. When a person goes to a shiva, he says to the person who's sitting shiva, Hamokin Yenachem Eschem. We refer to the Rebbeinu Shloim with the term of Hamokin. When we misspell for people, we say Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Hamokin Yerachim Aleim. We also use that terminology of Hamokin. When a person suffers a loss, Chazal tell us, you say to him, Hamokin Yemalech Yisrenecho. That Kodesh Baruch Hu should fill your losses. Whenever there's difficult times, we use that language of Hamokin. Why is that? And the answer is very simple. When we think HaKadosh Baruch is missing, just when I needed him most. No, Hamokin. In that very place, the Ribbono Shel Olam is found. The Ribbono Shel Olam is there with us. Sometimes, a person is feeling very depressed in life. And he doesn't feel HaKadosh Baruch is with him. The Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes, at times like that, he reveals himself with a little shmeichel. A little siman is there with us. Even if he's not solving the problem, he shows us he's there with us. That we see by Yosef, when he was sold down to Mitzrayim. His own brother sold him. Imagine how he felt at that time. A 17-year-old boy who'll never see his family again. No ever escape from Mitzrayim. And then there's a nes. Instead of these Arabs carrying fuel, they're carrying the Somi. Now that's really going to make him feel good. Ah, what a smell. Now he's going to feel good about life? Obviously not. That's not going to change his situation at all. But it makes him realize there's something unusual here. The Ribbono Shel Olam is here with me. That helps him see a light at the end of the tunnel. And very often, when people are suffering a Torah, if they look, there's certain bright spots in the middle to show that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with you. Just like the Pasuk says, Kasha Yigyase Ish Espanoi. There's the Ribbono Shel Olam who's given these Torahs. We have to realize it's a loving Father. So these are three ways of looking at things. But on a more practical level, when a person is suffering, not everyone can feel that closeness of Hashem. Very often, to say Gamzu L'Toiva is just lip service. What should a person do? There was a famous psychologist, Carl Menninger, and his students once asked him, what do we do if we see a person is about to have a nervous breakdown? What would you suggest? So he told them, what you do is tell this person to find a homeless person, somebody who's living in the streets, and take care of him. There's no better therapy than helping others. And Rav Shaya Erz, who was the founder and creator of the concept of Chaverim, he lives in Monsey, and he told me over one time that he saw a woman coming to speak to him. And he was a little nervous about it, because he knew that this woman's husband is very involved in the Chaverim. He's always running to calls, and she's probably coming to complain to him that her husband's never home. So he got himself ready with the right answers. And she comes and she says to him, I want to thank you. He says, what for? He says, I want you to know that whenever my husband is at home and is in a bad mood, he gets a call to go for Chaverim, he comes back a changed person. He's so happy with life when he comes back. There's no better therapy than helping others. People pay a fortune for psychologists. It's a lot cheaper to go and help someone else. And instead of paying, the Ribbono Shel Olam would pay you. And even if somebody tells you that working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pay so well, but one thing I can tell you, the pension plan is out of this world. There's a story of a woman who lost a child. She wasn't able to leave the house. She was so tzebrochen. A year had gone by, a year and a half, and now her friend was making a chasna. Her husband told her, is your best friend making this wedding? You have to go. She said, I can't go. I can't feel simcha at all. He says, no, you have to go. It means so much to her. And he almost pushed her out of the house and made her go to this chasna. When she arrives at the chasna, she's standing outside. She looks inside, sees the music, the dancing, and she just bursts into tears. She stands there crying. She feels she can't go inside. And there were women, old women sitting outside, who are collecting. One of these old women comes over to her and says to her, Mamala, what's bothering you? So she says, you wouldn't understand. I lost a child. She says, I wouldn't understand. I went through the war. I lost many children. I lost everybody I knew. I understand. So she asked, and you didn't cry? She said, yes, I cried. I cried and I cried. And then I realized, these tears are a waste. These tears don't accomplish anything. Instead of me crying for myself, I started crying for other people. And this woman got the message, she said. She sat down, and she says then she cried. She cried for all the people she knew who didn't have children. She cried for the people who were sick. She cried for the people who never did not panosa, who didn't have shiduchim. She cried for every person she knew, and she cried and cried. And then she says, she got up, she went into the chasna, and she never felt more simcha in her life. Doing for others, there's no doubt, gives a person chizuk, helps a person. But in the final analysis, the best way to help oneself handle hardships is to strengthen one's emunah or one's bitochim. That way, a person will feel imoy anoichi b'tzara. A person will feel that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us. They'll feel that the Yeshua is possible. When we understand that Hashem is doing for our best, we'll feel more secure, more content, and accepting of life's hardships. Of course, that's nothing new. We all know it. But do we feel it? Do we believe it? It's easy to say it. I'm reminded of a person who was waiting to daven Maariv. And the Rav was giving a drasha between Mincha and Maariv. And he's talking, we have to bring Hashem into our lives. We have to recognize everything is from Hashem. We have to get closer to Hashem. And then the man says, forget Hashem already, let's daven. How many times do we do that? We're davening, but do we realize what we're davening? Who we're davening to? Where are our minds when we're davening? We know it in our moyach, but what about in our lathe? Are we putting it into practice as well? And that is why Shulchan Aruch begins and tells us, daily life starts off with, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. That is the yisoid of Yiddishkeit, but it's also the yisoid of living life as well. To remember, the Ribbono Shel Olam is always there with us. And there's different ways during the day we can do that. A mitzvah of mezuzah. The mitzvah of mezuzah, we walk through a door many times a day. And some people kiss the mezuzah. I don't know what they mean, if they're thinking anything at the time. That is not the mitzvah of mezuzah, to kiss the mezuzah. Nice thing to do, but that's not the mitzvah of mezuzah. The Rambam writes, what's the purpose of mezuzah? Calls man shei konis v'yetze. Every time you go in and out, yifka v'yichad Hashem, v'yizkar avosai, to remember how much the Rebbe Shalom loves you. V'yoy mishnosai, v'hoylech b'darkim isharim. It's a reminder every time you go, the Rebbe Shalom is there with us. Every time a person makes a bracha, ki mo Hashem lekecha shol mi'enoch, is mea brachas we have to make every day. It's an opportunity to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. If we use these types of mitzvahs, we'll realize the Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly with us. I'd like to conclude with a story. The Ponovitch Rav, when I happened to spend a Shabbos in Haifa, that Shabbos, a boat of refugees had arrived. It was 1946, and they'd come from Europe, and they were supposed to make their way to Yerushalayim, but there was no time to travel to Yerushalayim, and they were stuck in Haifa for Shabbos. So Ponovitch Rav heard they were there, he went to speak to them, and he wanted to give them chizuk. What do you say to such people? People who have suffered so much destruction, so much tragedy, oroim ve'eriyo, bare of family, parnos and homes. How should he be mechazik them? So he told them a story. There was a boy who lived in a town who was very matzliach. He became an unbelievable Talmud Chacham. His parents were very shvach in their Yiddishkeit. But since he was matzliach so much, the Rav wanted him for an evening. And he married the Rav's daughter. When his parents came home from the Chasna, they had little connection to Yiddishkeit. But the husband said to the wife, you know, till now we've lived our lives in a certain way. But now we have to act differently. We're mechatonim with a rov now. We have to live differently. And I'm going to start going to shul tomorrow. And he decides to go to daven. Then his wife says a couple of days later, you know, mechatonim with a rov. We have to start being more careful with kashrus. And then bit by bit they keep adding things and adding things. Keep saying, we're mechatonim with a rov. How can we do this? Mechatonim with a rov. He turned to these people, Ponovitch Rav, and he said, these people gave one son and became a chotanim with a rav. You people over here, you Holocaust survivors, you gave all your children, many of you. You gave siblings, you gave parents, you gave parnasa, you gave your homes, you gave so much. You were chotanim with a Ribbono Shel Olam. And now you have to live your lives accordingly. So let's recap what we mentioned today. The first thing we mentioned was we have to recognize when a person is suffering that we're not in control. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam can help us. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam can change our destiny. We have to realize that we don't understand everything that's happening. The second thing was Gamzu L'Tova. Everything is for the good, even if we cannot see that good. It reminds me of a story of a person who came to the horse market. And he was watching what was happening over there. And he sees a person calling out, 500 rubles for this horse, 500 rubles for the horse. Nobody was coming. Eventually a person walks over. He says, I'll give you 100 rubles for that horse. He says, you're crazy. Such a beautiful horse. I'm not taking less than 500. And the other fellow says, I'm not giving you more than 100. And finally he says, okay, 400 is yours. No, I'm not interested. 300, I'll give it to you. No. 200 is yours. And the man starts walking off. Okay, 100 rubles, take it. And the man pays 100 rubles and he walks off. So this person watching goes over to the seller and he says to him, Nebuch, it's your unlucky day. He says to him, why? He says, you had this beautiful horse. You wanted 500 rubles and all you received was 100 rubles. He says, what are you talking about? It was my lucky day. He says, why? He says, this horse was crippled. This man didn't realize it. I'm so happy to get 100 rubles for it. So this man now is watching, goes over to the buyer. And he says to him, wow, it's your unlucky day. He says, why? He says, you bought a horse for 100 rubles. He says, yeah, gorgeous horse. He says, no, it's crippled. You didn't realize it. He says, no, it's not crippled. I saw that in the foot there's a nail. I pull out that nail. This horse is a perfect horse. It's perfect. I got such a material. He goes over now to the seller. He says to the seller, you know, never. You lost out. He says, why? He says, you sold a wonderful horse. He says, it was crippled. He says, no, it wasn't. It was just a nail in the foot. He says, who do you think put that nail in the foot? So now he goes to the buyer. And he says to the buyer, Nebuch, you bought this horse and it's crippled. He says, no, it's not just a nail. He put the nail in the foot. It's really crippled. So it doesn't bother me. He says, why not? He says, because I gave him counterfeit bills. So he goes to the seller now. And he says to the seller, you sold this horse, you lost out. He says, it was wonderful. He says, no, you got counterfeit bills. He says, doesn't bother me. He says, why not? It wasn't my horse. So often, we look at a situation, and we think we understand the situation. We haven't got a clue what's happening. There's so many layers behind the scenes. And that is what we have to understand. We just see the surface. It's like an iceberg. We can see the tip of the iceberg. But what's below, what we don't see, that is really what's happening. There's real things behind it all. And the third thing we mention is, we have to recognize, Imoy Anoichi B'Tzarah. It's comforting to know the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us, to help us overcome our feelings of despair. We have to work on strengthening our Emunah and Bitochen. We say, V'Saveinu Mituvecho. We want the Ribbono Shel Olam to satisfy us with our goodness. What does this mean? Rabbi Chaim Bernat explained, the Chazal tell us, a blind person is never satisfied. And why is that? Because he doesn't see the food that he's eating. In order to be satisfied, you have to see the food. So we say to Ribbono Shel Olam, V'Saveinu Mituvecho. We want a goodness that makes us satisfied. What type of goodness is that? It's a goodness that we see the goodness. Without seeing it, we can't feel the satisfaction. Please, Ribbono Shel Olam, give us a goodness that we're satisfied with. Mitzvah, if we work in Amunah like that, we'll be zeicha to that v'nisma mituva. Until we're zeicha to that zman, the zman that Mitzvah will be only good with the good of Shleima b'mehir v'yameinu. Amen. Amen. Amen.